Brian Alvarez here. You're listening to the Kicking Out Podcast, a podcast about All Elite Wrestling, hosted by Tanner Lee, Paul Zartman, and Austin Shepherd.
You are listening to the number one AEW podcast, the Kicking Out Podcast, a podcast about All Elite Wrestling, hosted by my favorite host, Tanner Lee, Paul Zartman, and Austin Shepherd. So if you want to know everything that's going on in the world of All Elite Wrestling, AEW, then you need to listen to the Kicking Out Podcast. Please tell Thunder Rosa I said hello.
What is up, KOP Nation? It is Sunday night. It's July 20th, 2025. Hope everybody's been having a great weekend. I'm Tanner Lee, riding solo tonight. The rare solo episode of KOP. But Paul's under the weather, and Shep's got some family stuff going on. But I was a free and available and wanted to make sure I got everybody out there in KOP Nation an episode this week because I got a decent amount of AEW news and discussion to talk about. So I didn't want to leave you all hanging this week. So it might be a little shorter episode than normal. And of course, we're usually scheduled to go 8:30 p.m. Eastern time live. And it's a little before 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern time now. And I just went ahead and pulled the trigger and because I was ready to rock and roll. And honestly, didn't want to wait any longer. So thanks for joining with me tonight, if you're watching live on our Facebook page and YouTube channel, and if you're listening at a little later time on your favorite audio podcast platform, please hit that follow button, that like button. Make sure you're subscribed to our feed, and if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, give us that 5-star rating and review. We'd really appreciate it. That helps us out a ton. And also, you can find us on your favorite social media platform, at Kicking Out Pod on there. So hit that like button, follow button, subscribe button, notification bell on here on YouTube, all that good stuff. So with all that housekeeping underway, let's catch up with some comments here. Got Steffi in the comments. Hey, Steffi, how we doing? Brandon James says, what's up? What's up, Brandon? How's it going? Hope you're having a good Sunday. I am on early. Like I said, it's just a one-man show tonight. So usually we go on at 8:30, and my wife's like, why don't you just go ahead and go on now if you're ready. I'm like, yeah, you got a good point. So, and Steffi says she's waiting on Asshat Majin to get in here. Great nickname for him. I like that. Asshat Majin. That's good. But I hope everybody's been having a fantastic week. It's hard to believe we're almost to the end of July already, but time flies when we're having fun. That's what we're going to try to do here tonight on the Kicking Out Podcast. Let's get right into some news. With one bit of news coming out that I thought was interesting was Kenny Omega is glad that AEW is not doing house shows. So if you remember correctly, AEW had a little string of house shows. It was probably back in 2021. They were doing some house shows, and honestly, that's a big reason why Jeff Jarrett was hired in the company, was to get those house shows going. But over the past couple of years, they stopped doing those. And honestly, we've seen WWE cut way back on the house shows. I just think it's, you know, there's not a lot of money to be made in house shows anymore as there once were, and you're just gonna make your talent get exhausted and all that, you know, and more risk of injury and whatnot. But Kenny Omega here was in an interview said that let's see here, I'm very glad that we aren't a traveling house show brand because it just wouldn't be. It is already very difficult to sustain, but if we were doing 5 dates a week and kind of just taking a bus all over America all the time with no time at home, Omega said, number one, a lot of our performers are family men and women, so there would be that aspect of it where they would miss out on a lot of family time at personal events and all that. But of course, there's the wear and tear, and it would be a lot of wear and tear that you don't actually see if we were a house show traveling brand. You get your couple of episodes a week where, yes, you're on TV, but then you have X amount of dates where you're just making the towns. Make it round it off by saying that he's very glad that AEW made a point to not do house shows from the outset of the company and not have to rely on things like prescription drugs to help them through their day. So yeah, like I said, it's house shows are kind of a thing of the past. I mean, I've only been to one house show myself. I went to a WWE house show here in Fort Wayne in 2023. All the rest of my shows I've been to have been either TV tapings or pay-per-views. So don't get the opportunity to go to house shows much anymore. And I think it's fine for the business that there's not a lot of house shows. And I agree. I think it's a good thing that AEW doesn't run house shows. Got backstage report on creative behind the Young Bucks match at AEW All In Texas against Will Ospreay and Swerve Strickland. Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer revealed that Matt and Nick, as they're now known as again, instead of Matthew and Nicholas, since they're not EVPs anymore, actually wanted to lose the match to Ospreay and Swerve. The reason being that the Young Bucks felt their run as on-screen authority figures had run its course and wanted to return to being a part of the tag team division as in-ring performers, which is why they have been featured more as wrestlers with the Founding Fathers gimmick as of late rather than the EVPs. And like I said last week, I was giving the Young Bucks their flowers last week. I mean, the guys can still go with the best of them. And I think it's good that they lost their EVPs titles on screen, because I think that will make them come back from the bottom, per se, in their story. So I think it makes them interesting. I think eventually we'll get a Bucks face turn down the road, and we'll kind of go back to the start of AEW Young Bucks, the 2019-2020 Young Bucks. So I'm interested to see how we get there. I mean, I still think there's a little more to play out with the heel Bucks, but it's coming. It's coming eventually. And yeah, of course, as a big Swerve fan and Ospreay fan, I was happy to see them get the win, because I didn't want to see them go a whole calendar year without being able to challenge for the AEW World title. I just didn't think that would put the company in a good spot, even though they have a very talented and deep roster and a lot of other guys can step up to the challenge. I was just saying, you got your two of your more popular talents, two of your more over faces right now, and if you put them in a position where they couldn't challenge for the title for a year, that just wasn't putting the company in a good spot. So, right call all around there. And we've got some injury news going on. AEW, it seems a lot of it in the world of wrestling right now. Let's be honest, across all different promotions. This one's Mina Shirakawa. Less than 24 hours after capturing the interim ROH Women's Television Championship, Mina Shirakawa suffered a broken hand while competing in the Women's Casino Gauntlet at AEW All In Texas. On Dynamite this past week, Tony Schiavone noted that Shirakawa specifically suffered the injury when taking the O-face from Athena towards the end of the match. A new report, however, claims that the injury actually happened at a different point. According to the Wrestling Observer Newsletter, Shirakawa broke her hand while delivering a spinning back fist to former AEW World Champion Thunder Rosa, with the strike said to have connected way too hard. As of now, there's no word on how long Shirakawa is expected to be sidelined with her injury or how AEW/ROH will now approach her status as the interim ROH Women's TV champ. And Red Velvet, who's the reigning ROH Women's TV champ, recently sustained an injury of her own while wrestling in Mexico last month. So, yeah, that belt's kind of cursed right now. Kind of cursed. Brendan James says Don Callis wants the Young Bucks to join the family. Oh, he wants everybody to join the family. He's thrown out offers to the Young Bucks. He's thrown out an offer to Dustin Rhodes last night on Collision. But, yeah, of course, the Young Bucks act like they made a little bit of agreement with them. But we'll see where that goes, because we know they don't like Don Callis either. And even though they're heels, they see right through Callis. So so we'll see where that goes. Interesting little wrinkle there, but I don't foresee them being longtime members of the Callis family by any means. Let's see here. Some more injury notes to go over. Will Ospreay a report came out that he was banged up after AEW All In Texas. Recently reported that Ospreay has been hurting heading into All In, with the Aerial Assassin set to have some time off over the next few weeks. However, in the latest edition of the the Wrestling Observer Newsletter, Dave Meltzer reported Ospreay's injuries are actually worse than people originally believed. Sources in AEW thought that Ospreay would be out for at least a month, but Meltzer believes there is currently no time frame on how long he'll be out of action for. With that said, Ospreay is traveling to the United States next week to meet with a doctor in order to give him and AEW a better idea of how long he will be out. And that's really bad with the timing of everything with the next pay-per-view coming up, Forbidden Door on August 24th, right in Ospreay's backyard. So, and of course, his fiance, Alex Windsor, just debuted with the company, got a win on Collision, got the graphic, the All Elite graphics. Yeah, that stinks. So hopefully he's able to come back and do whatever he's going to do at Forbidden Door, which I believe would be a match against Gabe Kidd, because Gabe Kidd was the one that kind of put him out at All In along with Claudio and Wheeler. But of course that angle was shot probably because they knew that Will was banged up and going to have to take some time off. So we will see. We will see on that. Another backstage report. Okada is Kenny Omega is set to take some time off following his loss to Okada, though it isn't yet known how long he will be gone. So he got Okada out, Omega out, too many O's. Omega out, Ospreay out. But hopefully they're both able to come back right around Forbidden Door, because AEW is better when those guys are on and around. Fresh injury looks like it happened. Collision looks like Colton Gunn, in his first match in a long time, might have injured his knee in the four-way tag match that was on TV last night. He looked like suffered a knee injury, according to people there that were at the tapings. He had to be escorted backstage mid-match. Some fans noted that Colton Gunn was ringside for quite some time, as doctors tended to his right knee. So, man, I love the Bang Bang Gang with the Guns and Juice Robinson, who just recently returned, and Switchblade JY, who should be returning anytime now. But this group just kind of seems a little cursed. It just keeps getting bit by the injury bug, and I hate it. I hate it for all of them because I like all those guys. But it's just, they just can't stay healthy for whatever reason. Don't know what that is, but. And not injury related news, but something I wanted to bring up, and I was actually hoping Shep was going to be here tonight, or Paul, so I could discuss this with them and get their opinions, because I'm sure they would have been lively and entertaining. But Bully Ray of Pro Wrestling Nation 24/7 on the Busted Open show, I was talking about Goldberg, as they were talking about Goldberg all week last week after he came out on the Ariel Helwani show and with his interview, and was really pretty much kind of ungrateful. Not kind of, he was ungrateful for his retirement send-off in the WWE, and which I just kind of roll my eyes at, because there's not too many wrestlers that have gotten an actual retirement match, had it promoted, even if it was only promoted for 3 weeks, but have it promoted ahead of time and got to go out on their own terms. I mean, a lot of times pro wrestlers wrestle their last match and don't even realize it until later on. Majin, why are we still talking about that punk ass? Just because of what Bully Ray said here, and it's got to do with AEW. So I thought I'd bring it up and get everybody's opinions. Goldberg is even worse than Fragile Phil. I'm not disagreeing with you. I thought the guy was very ungrateful for the send-off they gave him. And you know, this is WWE. This isn't WCW. He was an absolute legend in WCW. WWE, sure, he won some titles and all that, but not near the status and the prestige he had in WCW, you know. So, okay, let's see here. So Bully Ray on Busted Open said, "I see this as an opportunity for AEW. If I'm AEW, I open up my doors to Bill Goldberg. Let's do it the right way. Let's give you the send-off you deserve, and I'd have Steen invite him here." If Steen stood in the middle of the ring and said, "Bill, we spent a lot of time together in Atlanta. You know what? I know how you feel by how you got treated on Saturday night. Do yourself a favor, buddy. Come here for one night. We'll give you the send-off you deserve." personally, I think it would work because Sting is the guy to do it. I disagree with all that because I think it was 2 years ago, one of my bold predictions for the following years was that Goldberg would show up in AEW because I really thought it was trending in that direction. There had been reports that he and Tony had a conversation or two. But if you remember right, about a year ago, Bill came out and made some clown references about AEW and all that. So I think that bridge has been burned. There's no way. He's not come to AEW. I don't think Tony should do it. Don't think Tony will do it. And yeah, Sting got the Raw deal from WWE as well, but he got a great send-off from AEW. So nope, I think Goldberg will not be on the AEW programming at all. Now, will he ever have another match? Never say never. It wouldn't shock me if he shows up on some independent that pays him a ton of money, particularly if it's like a foreign event or something, because he sounds like he kind of wants one more match because he didn't like how his ended. But as far as promotions on national television, WWE, AEW, I think he's done. I think he's done. He's 58 years old. I couldn't believe he actually could go for as long as he did the other day. I think that was his longest match since the triple threat match at Armageddon in 2003. So he had his longest match in 22 years. That's saying something, but no, I think he's done. Modern says, absolutely not. They already got rid of one cancer. They don't need another. Correct. Sting is also someone who deserved a send-off. Goldberg deserves shit. Can't complain with that. Can't complain with that. Now, I was a young kid in the 90s who grew up loving Goldberg, but it's 2025. I don't need him on my TV anymore. And let's be honest, his son Gage will be in the performance center in a few years after his football career is over. I know he keeps saying he wants to play in the NFL, but he's a walk-on at Colorado. I don't see him making the NFL. No offense to him. I mean, I'm sure he's a good football player. And heck, a lot better than I am. I'm sitting here talking on a microphone. I didn't play college football. Not anywhere close to that. So, but you know what I'm saying. I think we haven't seen the last of a Goldberg in WWE, but it's just not going to be Bill. It's probably going to be Chase eventually. So as long as they don't piss off Bill anymore, I guess. But it'll be interesting with, on that interview with Hawani, he said he can stay more in 2 weeks. So I'm guessing that's when his contract, whatever kind of contract they came up for him, is eventually up. And then we'll see. But he, selfish and grateful dude. And he really should have just shut up. So, yeah. But all right, let's get into my when will Lesnar's daughter come to WWE? Oh, that would be an interesting one because she's a heck of an athlete, heck of a shot putter at Colorado State NCAA champ. But with the Lesnar name, will TKO want any part of it? I don't know. I mean, they could easily change her name and her in-ring name and not even bring up the fact that she's related to Brock, but who knows? But she is a beast. I don't know. No pun intended. But I don't know if she'll want to get in the wrestling business. I have no idea. I don't know that much about her besides that she's a really good athlete with the shot put. So, all right. So let's get into my likes and dislikes this week from Dynamite and Collision. I got to be honest, Collision, I watched bits and pieces, but Dynamite, I did watch the whole thing this week. And Dynamite, I thought it was interesting. You know, it's the post AEW All in Texas Dynamite. So big time Dynamite feel. It felt like coming in this one, starting residency in Chicago at a really cool venue. Really cool venue, small venue, but just unique. I love the small, unique venues AEW's been running. I know the IWC, some on the IWC gives AEW flack for running such small venues, but I think it's added to the atmosphere this year. I'd rather watch a small, sold-out, hot crowd in a cool venue than run a 10,000-seat venue that's not very full. I mean, it just makes for better television. Anyways, with all that said, in real time, like Wednesday night after I watched the show, I was a little disappointed. I don't know what I was expecting. I just expected coming away with some like huge things happening, maybe a few surprises or some returns. But then the more I thought about it, like going into Thursday and while I was working Thursday during the day and, you know, my brain's still in pro wrestling mode, I kind of took a step back and really started to think about it. And I'm like, actually, that was a pretty good Dynamite because it still set up and advanced a lot of stories. I mean, we don't have any stories per se starting for Forbidden Door yet, but it will happen here in the next coming weeks. But I thought they did a good job of, you know, putting MJF in line for the next challenger for Hangman. And we got a tease with Okada and Swerve. And we saw Athena become the next challenger for Toni Storm. And yeah, I was like, all right, yeah, they're doing a good job with the storytelling. And Cope, we saw Cope, you know, explain the him coming to Christian's side, even though he didn't do it for Christian, and that he's going to end FTR. So we got a lot of good progression in the stories they're telling. So absolutely. Monsanto, Okada, and Swerve had a bitch off. You know, and that's one of those moments. It's like, that's a match I didn't even know I needed until I saw them face to face, which I feel stupid that I never put two and two together. I mean, they're great talents. I'm like, oh yeah, sign me up. That's big time match feel right there. And I love it because I wasn't sure what they were going to do with Swerve next. Okada's a great opponent. Great opponent. That'd be a lot of fun. I assume it's for the Unified Championship, which I don't know about you all, but I wish they would just keep the Unified Championship and retire the Continental and the International. I mean, keep the lineage within the Unified, but like I just don't like the presentation of somebody holding three belts. I know Callis is holding two of them for Okada, but I don't know. It gets a little goofy for me. Like, I thought the reason of unifying the titles was to get rid of some of the titles, but whatever. So, imagine the women's division better hope Athena never wins that belt, because if she gets her hands on that title, they ain't ever seen it again. Laughing emoji. She got to go from being the forever ROH women's champ to the forever AEW women's champ. Here's a bold prediction for you. I think Athena does take it off Toni Storm. And then you could have Mercedes challenge Athena. Not saying she's got to necessarily beat Athena, but you heat up that rivalry again. I think that's the perfect way to do it. And you can get off, you can get the ROH belt off of Athena in the meantime, before she wins the AEW World's Championship. Maybe Billy Starks takes it. Maybe she finally gets it third time's a charm, whatever. Whatever that saying is. I can't think right now. My brain's on overload here at the end of the week. Third time's a charm. There we go. Or you can keep it on her, and, you know, as long as Mercedes has six belts, trying to add two more, I guess. Even though I think they need to get the TBS title off of her as well. Tanner can't speak tonight. You're right, Majin. Tanner can't speak tonight. Tanner's trying. Tanner can't speak. But what one of my likes, and I guess I better bring the graphic up for the likes and dislikes for everybody watching on YouTube and on Facebook. If you haven't already, hit that like button, that follow button, and subscribe button, and notification bell, please and thank you. And hit that like button on YouTube right now for everybody watching on YouTube. That really helps us out a lot with the algorithm too. Big time. So we'd appreciate if you give us the thumbs up. But loved how they kicked off with Hangman Adam Page coming out and giving a great promo. Looks great with big platinum around his waist. Great to see the title back on Dynamite. Hadn't seen it on Dynamite since October. So great to see that. I thought he had a great promo. Loved how he was thanking everybody who helped him on his 9-month mission to free the title, including Orange Cassidy, got a big freshly squeezed chant, Switchblade Jay White, Adam Copeland, The Ops, Brian Danielson, Darby Allin, and Will Ospreay, who all reminded him of why he loved wrestling at AEW Double or Nothing. And then he thanks Swerve, despite their storied history with one another. He says All In Weekend was full of highs, lows, blood, and tears. He says people like Moxley would say crying makes Paige weak and less of a man, but he has the love and respect of his wife, kids, and the fans. So I thought it was awesome. I loved how he dropped the F-bomb talking about being a champ. And I love how he said he did it for everybody. And he just feels like our champion. That's why I titled the episode Hangman Page is our champion. Hangman Adam Page is our champion, because he does. He feels like the rightful champ right now for all AEW fans. A guy we can be proud that he's representing the company and the promotion we love so much. And he's a whole different guy than he was back in his previous championship ring in 2021. It's a whole different Hangman now, 4 years later. And I can't wait to be on the ride, see where it goes. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Kyle Fletcher against Dorada. It was fine. I mean, I don't know if I would have opened up as with this as the first match after the promo, especially if a lot of newer viewers were tuning in after All in Texas to see what's going on. But I mean, it was a good match. Don't get me wrong. Both guys are very talented. He knew Fletcher was going to win. He knew he was going to come after Dustin soon. He called out Dustin right into the camera afterwards. But I just don't know if I would have opened up with that. Young Bucks, Josh Alexander, and Hitchisaro versus Mike Bailey, Kevin Knight, Brody King, and Bandito. Really fun match. A lot of action going on. The heel team gets the win, which is good. I mean, Josh Alexander, in my opinion, needs to pick up more wins. But it was good stuff. I liked the stuff from Cope. Thought it was good. I love when the audience sings his entrance after the music stops. I think that's awesome. Got to enjoy it while we can, because I don't think Cope's got tons of time left. So, yes, Steffi, thank you for bringing up the Bucks entrance. Fantastic. Going with their flex motion, trying to get the pyro out. Pyro's not going off. Then their Tron up there is just black with Nick and Matt written in what looks like crayon. Then they're showing the highlights of the finish All in Texas. Yeah, that was great. Great touch. And I loved when they went to hit what was formerly known as the EVP trigger and looked at each other and didn't know what to talk about or didn't know what to call it. Fantastic. Fantastic stuff. And Imogen said, if you don't like Hangman, something is just wrong with you. Agreed. Agreed. Cope, said pretty much he didn't come to help Christian. Said Christian made his life miserable since he arrived in AEW, then ran down the list of things he did to him during their sheer time in AEW. Says Cage has done everything he did out of jealousy and couldn't stand to see Cope with AEW World Championship before he had it. Cope tells Cage that he told him that the patriarchy would turn their backs on him, and they did just that at All In. He said the main reason he came back at All In was to get his hands on FTR. Then recalls getting cleared to return to wrestling ring 5 years ago. First two people he called when he found out, Cash Wheeler, Dax Harwood. You know, we all know that history there. But FTR's music hits. Stokely comes out with 4 security guards to protect himself. Stokely says Harwood and Wheeler predicted exactly what Cope would do tonight. Then says Tony Khan and Warner Media have received 3 anonymous emails about Cope's behavior. He says if Cope comes anywhere near FTR, interferes in their matches, or tries to shake their hands, it's supposed to say, then he will be fired. Cope responds by telling Hathaway that he never said anything about getting near him. He tells one of the security guards to go after Cope. Cope quickly clocks the security guard, takes out the other one. The two other security guards were outside the ring, run to the back. Cope delivers a spear on Hathaway, who did a great job selling it and twitching his body. So good stuff. Good stuff. So we got a 4-way match between Tekla, Queen Amanada, Chris Statlander, Willow Nightingale for a 100K 4-way fight. With all these women brought it. I love the Tekla Queen Amanada feud that keeps going on. Statlander, Willow, you know, are they going to become friends? Stat going to go full heel, all that. Tekla won. And then, after the match, during the match, we got Sky Blue storm down to the ring to distract a ref. Julie Hart snuck up behind Queen Amanada, spit the black mist into Amanada's eyes, opening the door for Tekla to deliver a curb stomp on Amanada for the win. And then on social media, after the show was over, it looks like Tekla's joining Sky Blue and Julia Hart as they were sitting on the steps and she comes behind them. So I like it. I hope Tekla keeps her look, her current look of her spider look, and, you know, it doesn't go all black or anything. So I think it works out great, especially if AEW is going to introduce a women's tag titles eventually. Any 2 of those 3 ladies, sign me up for running the tag team titles. I think it's awesome. I think all 3 ladies can go. Nice little faction for them, because I think Julia and Buddy and Brody, of course, Buddy's been on the shelf. I think that's over with. I mean, it should have been over with when Malachi left, but they tried to keep it going with the Hounds of Hell thing a little bit. But let them all go on their own way. I think it's fine. Imagine says, Cope Spears have looked better lately. Used to look like he was just hugging the guy on the way down. I agree. I don't know if it's just that time off, getting a little refreshed or what, but I agree. Spears looked to have some more force with him and look more realistic. Brendan James says, nice three-woman team. Yeah, I like it. I like it. I think they're doing good stuff with the women's division. It's just my complaint on Dynamite is a lot of times we don't get enough usage of the women. Now we do on Collision. So I guess that's one thing to say, but maybe that should just be the expectation going forward. I don't know. Okada made quick work in a squash match. Then he called out Swerve because Swerve hurt his friends, the Young Bucks. So Swerve came out alongside Prince Nana and asked Okada what he's going to do to him. So, yeah, good stuff. The main event was Hangman, Mark Briscoe, and Powerhouse Hobbs versus the Death Riders. And Okada's new theme's awesome. I know Mikey Ruckus didn't produce it, but that's okay. I know the band that did is friends with Okada. And I thought it was fire. It's good. Yeah, switch it up a little bit. He's had the same theme for so long. Adding some good lyrics to it. Yeah. Yeah. This was a fine main event. My big, and this was gets a dislike for me. I wish they wouldn't have had the Death Riders on the first Dynamite after All In, and not only on, promoted ahead of time. And if they're going to have the combination of Claudio and Wheeler, and they could even have Gabe Kidd. Now, I know Gabe Kidd got hurt last night at the G1, but this was before the G1. Don't have Moxley. I'd have been good with Moxley off TV for a little while, but I presume the reason they had him on was for what happened after the main event was over, after we saw the babyface team get a win. Hangman set up for the buckshot lariat on Claudio. Claudio blocked it, but Hangman pinned him with a roll-up. I would have had him actually pin somebody after hitting a buckshot. I would have had him pin Moxley, to be honest. You got Mox to tap out at All In Texas, and then to pin his shoulders to the mat, 1, 2, 3, that's how I would have done it. But after the match, Claudio started beating up Hangman. Then Darby appeared in the rafters, allowing Hangman to blindside Mox with a buckshot lariat. So just like he did at All In, it served as a distraction. So I definitely think that's the next program we're getting with Mox as Darby. Makes total sense with the history there. Total sense. Imagine, who's Wheeler? Do you mean Caveman? Yeah, the dude's hair can't get too much longer. Man. Brandon, I saw bits and pieces of Collision. I'm going to go over what I liked and disliked on Collision here next. But overall, Dynamite got a thumbs up for me. I mean, my biggest dislike was, just having the Death Riders on and advertise for a match. And on top of that, just having Moxley. I would have gave him some time off and let us breathe from the Death Riders for a little bit. I don't think they're going anywhere for a while. Like, I think if we get a clean breakup of the Death Riders, it's going to be from a Blood and Guts match, assuming we have a Blood and Guts match this year. I mean, it's already almost the end of July, and we haven't had one yet. They usually happen in June or July. I know they switched up event schedules a bunch this year, so it could be they're just going to hold. If we get that, I expect the Death Riders to be in it, which would be the third year in a row. BCC or the Death Riders, whatever you want to call them, a variation of that group's in it. But I think that's where you could have the clean split up. Mon said they'll turn on Mox when they figure out their leader isn't what he claimed to be. That's true. Very well could. Very well could. But, and he said, loved the crowd chanting at Mox when he tapped out. Oh, yeah. I hope they do it too everywhere he goes. Remind him they tapped out. He looked weak, even though dude couldn't breathe. But we got the Death Riders back on Collision. I know I'm skipping ahead a little bit, but I guess if they're going to be on constantly, this was an awesome way to do it. Taking out Colt Cabana, the hometown boy there in Chicago, who's sitting behind the commentary desk, taking him out and beating him to a bloody pulp, and then putting the chain around his neck till he taps. He's one of Hangman's friends. And I saw on social media that Evil Uno, Alex Reynolds, and Johnny Silver, checked up on Colt backstage. So that was kind of a nice callback, doing the whole callback to 2021 when Hangman was close with the Dark Order. But once again, I just would have give us a break for a few weeks from the Death Riders. But if you're going to have them on TV, have them do something destructive like that, I guess. So Majin, just want to say too, Sky Blue came out, Chicagoan, absolutely no reaction. Yeah, very true. Good point. Didn't put that two and two together. Yeah. Guess you're unless you're Punk or to a lesser extent Colt, they don't give a damn. I live 3 hours away from Chicago, but I'm not even going to act like I know what they're thinking most of the time. So I don't live in Illinois either. I live in Indiana. Much different. So, but Dustin Rhodes getting a moment to open up Collision. Awesome. Gave a good promo. Loved the line. He said he's been waiting 37 years to say that he's the face of TNT. Promises to give it his all weekend and week out as a fighting champion. Mom, dad, I kept stepping for you. So really heartfelt. Got a dusty chant going for the crowd. Good stuff. Of course, Fletcher and Callis came to the ring. Of course, we know Fletcher wants that belt. And let's be honest, Dustin's probably going to drop it to Fletcher pretty quickly, I presume. I do like looking back on it, how they didn't just give it to Fletcher at all in Texas, which Shep, Paul, and I all thought they would in that four-way match and went in a different direction. Got the surprise moment as I compared it last week to Zack Ryder winning the IC title in the ladder match at WrestleMania 32, which was also in Dallas, you know, for the surprise. And Dustin's an AEW one-dayer, just re-signed a contract for 6 years. He deserves a title run. If you're not counting the hardcore title, the last time he had a singles title was 1999. So the dude's paid his dues for sure. For sure. So Ricochet versus Aaron Fox. This was one match I didn't catch the whole match. Flippity flops though. Athleticism. I like it. Of course, Ricochet got the win. He's got to be pushed. Him and the Gates of Agony. Let's be honest. He's got to be pushed. Maj, all I'll say is he better be a traditional champ. Yeah, I'd be shocked if Fletcher doesn't get off of him pretty quickly. I'd be really shocked. Really shocked. Megan Bain versus Ty Mello. Good match. Could not be any outside interference. Of course, Megan Bain got the win with a running Liger bomb. She's a beast. We give her flowers a lot on this podcast. She's awesome. I hope she's holding gold of some sort sooner or later. I'd love to see her actually be TBS champ. I think that'd be real good for her before she eventually gets the big gold for the women's division eventually. But I don't know how you do that with her being a heel and Mercedes being a heel unless it's a multi-women match of some sort. Tyler Valkyrie with Giant TV and Eminem Collection versus Alex Windsor, fiance of Will Ospreay. Alex Windsor got the win. I like how they're debuting her this early before they go over to England for Forbidden Door. I think it's good timing on it. Get the American crowd familiar with her, those who aren't already. So, yeah. Majin, is it just me or does an already slow Tay look a step or two behind on everything since she's came back? I haven't really noticed it, but I'll have to pay more attention. Of course, I guess it's harder for me to tell when she's in tag matches and not on her own, but I'll have to go back and watch that match more carefully and see what you're talking about because you're a smart pro wrestling fan. I'm sure you're right on that. So yeah, I get the ring rust, but I mean, how long was she ready to go before they brought her back? I think she'd been training for a long time. And I know there's a difference between live reps and training reps, but still, loved the Tony Storm Athena angle. I love how they had Tony cut it from a balcony and not in the ring. Take advantage of the venue you're in. The uniqueness of the venue fits Tony's character perfectly. What I love about Tony Storm, she takes all of her wording and her content and her creative, I should say, right up to the edge. And you know, this was on the same night that the ESPYs were going on, and Shane Gillis is cracking joke after joke on people, and a lot of people had a big problem with it. Tony Storm's saying similar things over on AEW, and the crowd's loving it and chanting along with her. So just shows you the difference between educating your fans and your audience and knowing what audience you can say things in front of and what audiences you can, I guess. So I know it's different. Pro wrestling fans are different than an audience attending the ESPYs too, but I guess some of Shane Gillis' jokes I thought went a little too far, but a lot of them I thought were pretty funny, and people were just kind of being too soft that complained about them. So Maja said, Tony again mentioning how she, and I quote, ate Mercedes alive. Yep. and she tasted great, apparently. We'll have to take her word for it. But yeah, they put a different angle out there on social media. I think it was today on AEW's, of her giving Mercedes a tombstone at All In. And it was, she got a faceful. I'll put it that way. She got a faceful for sure. For sure. But even Athena and Billy Starks, I thought were good on this too. So I'm just anxious to know when Athena for the women's side and MJF for the men's side are going to challenge Tony and Hangman. I don't think it's Forbidden Door. I could see All Out in Toronto. Part of me thinks that's even too soon, especially for MJF and Hangman, but it's a big show. So I could see that. I could see that. Four-way tag match. I hit on this a little bit when I was talking about Colton Gunn apparently getting injured, which just sucks. Just sucks because they just came back. Big Bill, Brian Keith, Crew, which is Action Andretti and Leo Rush, the Guns and Gates of Agony. I figured Gates of Agony or the Guns would win this. Juice Robinson was also down to the ring with the Guns. Gates and Agony got the win here. Double teamed Andretti, and then Khan pinned him. So yeah, they're gonna push him since they're with Ricochet. But if Colton's out for a while, there goes that plan of it looked like the Bang Bang Gang against Gates of Agony and Ricochet, which is too bad. Unless Jay White can come back soon, which I think he will be back soon. But I kind of like the idea of the Guns and Juice doing one thing and Jay doing another, and then come together when you have to. But yeah, MJF cut a good promo too. You're right, Majin. MJF's on his game right now. Happy Gilmore 2 is coming out this week. Adam Sandler gave Max his flowers, said how great he was to work with and everything, and talked very highly of him. So, yeah, I have a hard time not seeing Max as the next world champ, to be honest. Just don't know when they pull the trigger on it. Mod said they just got to break up the team. It's been cursed since they put together. I agree with you, unfortunately. I like all the guys in it. I like the Bang Bang Gang, Bull Club Gold, but it's just not working. Injury, bitten by the injury bug constantly. I agree at this point. It's kind of like the ROH women's TV title, and WWE terms, it's like the women's tag titles. Just cursed. Injuries all the time. Max Kessler's best wrestler live open challenge went as it always does. Max getting laid out pretty quickly by Kyle O'Reilly, which is going to be interesting to see what Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong do going forward as a team. Now that Adam Cole is going to be gone at least for a while, if not for good. So another good team. I think they get in the tag title mix. There are a lot of teams in tag title mix. Screw it. Somebody's got to take out the Syndicate eventually. It's going to take a heck of a team, but somebody's got to do it. Rush versus Shibata. Rush got the win. I got to be honest. I know Rush is a tough son of a bitch. One of the heavier strikers in all professional wrestling, but I just can't get behind the guy. Something about him. I don't know. I'm just not a big fan. It seems like they heat him up, cool him off, heat him up, cool him off. I don't know. It just seemed like a collision match, Rush against Shibata. So we'll see. But after the match, FLI attacked Shibata. Rush held up Shibata's title. Powerhouse Hobbs came in with the chair and hit Mortos in the gut with the chair. Yeah, I guess more trio stuff, huh? Probably LFI versus Ops, I'm guessing. So, yeah, you're right. They haven't used them well at all. Like I said, heated him up, cool him down. And I know he's had some heat backstage a time or two on him as well. I didn't even see this other match. Hijisaro, RPG Vice, or Punky Vice, Josh Alexander versus Bandido, Jet Speed, and Dorado. I did not see this match. Looks like the face team won. So, a lot of athletes there. A lot of athletes. So, I missed the main event, I guess. I didn't realize that was the main event. I watched it later than when it aired, so I must have fell asleep. Didn't even realize it last night. So, Collision was fine. Dynamite was the better show, as it is most weeks. But we still got some storytelling advancement on Collision, too. So, Lost Stream X, who do you see as the next tag team champions? Great question. I actually answered this one on the Turnbuckle Taverns debate show, which is dropping on all audio podcast platforms tomorrow. The Too Bad Chads, Chad and Snead, had me on there again, like they have been once every month this year, which I appreciate the opportunity to get on there and talk about AEW and WWE and whatever they're debating that night. And this was all AEW pod the other night, so I recommend checking out Turnbuckle Tavern if you haven't already. I think it's going to take a little time to get there, but I actually think it's going to be Cope and Christian that take it off the Hurt Syndicate. So I think they'll do Cope and Christian versus FTR in Toronto on September 20th at All Out. I don't think that title that match needs the titles. And then if I booked it, I think they're going to have a long feud with those guys. So I would do a triple threat between the Syndicate, FTR, Cope and Christian. And I even got real fun with that and said, how about a TLC match between the three? That way, the Syndicate could lose the titles but not get pinned. So that's what I would go with, but I'm probably way off. But because I think FTR, of course, they want the titles, but I don't see them going to heels against heels, even though the crowd wants to cheer for Hurt Syndicate more time than not, or at least they like to chant, "We hurt people," which is fun to chant. So Imad says, as they do a 5-second pose during their entrance. Yeah. Yeah, we're definitely getting there. I'd be absolutely shocked if they're not teaming against FTR on September 20th in Toronto. Not that that event will need anything extra, I don't think, to sell tickets, but it makes too much sense when you got two Canadian boys right there against another really good tag team. I mean, I think if they would have done this sooner and done it at All In, like the original plan probably was, I think Cope and Christian, nostalgia is a hell of a drug. I think them getting back together, if they would have at All In for a match, that would have moved a little more seats. They did fine getting 30,000 or so, but I think that would have moved some tickets within itself. So, talking about Andrade and Rusev's English, I believe. Yeah. Andrade's one talent I don't miss in AEW, I gotta be honest. Was never real big on Andrade either. And I like luchadors. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say I don't want people to think I'm anti-luchadors or anything on this. I'm not. I just haven't really ever gotten to Rush and Andrade. I didn't even really like him in his first run in WWE. And then he came to AEW, and I knew why they did it. They were grabbing every free agent at the time. Just didn't work out. I don't think he was the easiest guy to get along with backstage. I mean, look what happened with him and Sammy. And I don't think Sammy's been... I think he's more mature now than he was, but Sammy got his fair share of backstage scuffles himself. But overall, a good week at AEW. I see it on the IWC. A lot of people complaining, oh, that's how you follow up your biggest show of the year and one of your best pay-per-views with that Dynamite, that Collision. Oh, bite me. They're advancing some stories. This is why you have to watch every week. You can't just get everything you want in one show. You got to watch every week. Let it progress. People just like to bitch and moan online. Just sit back and enjoy it. Enjoy pro wrestling. Watch your wrestling. Watch what promotions you like. If you're watching Slammiversary tonight, hope you're enjoying it. Speaking of Slammiversary, I do think it's really cool that AJ Styles is going to be on tonight. I mean, that's when I think of TNA, I think of AJ Styles. He was the face of that ran that place for so many years. I was a big TNA guy when I was in middle school when they were on Fox Sports 1 before they got the Spike TV deal. And AJ was my dude, so I always liked AJ Styles. Liked him everywhere he went. TNA, New Japan, WWE, Hall of Famer. I wish he could have came over to AEW in 2019 when they tried to get him, and I kind of wish he still could have one last run in AEW, but I think he's got to have one more one-year run with WWE and probably call it a career, which good for him. Even if it's a story progression week, I'd rather watch that than a 3-hour show with only almost an hour of actual ring action. Yeah, it's like I said last week, you know, I mean, there's some things in WWE I enjoy that they're doing, and I enjoy some wrestlers in WWE. I mean, I'm still a big Cody Rhodes guy. I can't point in the direction. But one company's an entertainment company right now, one company's a pro wrestling company. Teach their own, watch what you like. I mean, I love Jelly Roll's music. I appreciate that the dude's giving it his all, training with The Undertaker, Kevin Owens, Michelle McCool, Jacob Fatu, moved down by the Performance Center for a while. Randy Orton's on my Mount Rushmore favorites, but I'm not real intrigued of Jelly Roll and Randy Orton versus Drew McIntyre and Logan Paul. I get celebrity involvement. Don't get me wrong. Jelly Roll's better to see than Travis Scott. I'd rather see Jelly Roll on WWE TV than Travis Scott, but like I'm glad AEW doesn't really do that sort of thing. Bring a celebrity in for a match. I mean, I know they've had celebrities on and they've had some, Shaq was in a match. I get that. And they've had some Paige Van Zandt. Well, she was supposed to be a professional wrestler. Didn't work out. And a few mixed martial arts fighters over the years with American Top Team and all that. But for the most part, they don't have somebody like Jelly Roll, I should say, come in and do a match. I know they had Snoop Dogg that one time do a move off the top rope, but that's just something WWE's doing right now. They're an entertainment company and AEW is a professional wrestling company. So, and Shaq did bring a ton of eyes. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That was always one thing we laugh about out on the KOP is whatever happened to Shaq in the back of the ambulance. So if you remember right, Tony Schiavone, after that match with Shaq and Jade versus Cody and Red Velvet, they went back to the ambulance where he was supposed to be in and open up the doors. He was gone. We never got an explanation. So it's kind of funny. Just a running joke there. So, at the end of the day, watch what you want to watch. We're spoiled as pro wrestling fans of 2025. There's so much good pro wrestling. You can find something to watch every day and every night if you wanted to between all the promotions out there. He uses genie powers to disappear. Good old Shazam. What a movie that was. Shaq, a guy of many talents. Actor, rapper, Hall of Fame professional basketball player. Now he's a commentator. What a guy. Big Diesel. Heck of a guy, really, though. Does a lot of good for a lot of people. So, pretty cool. I don't really have much more to talk about tonight. I knew it was going to be a short and sweet one with just me and no Paul and no Shep, but I wanted to get on and make sure we at least got an episode in the can this week. That's what y'all deserve, and I appreciate everybody that tunes in every week, whether it be live on our Facebook page or YouTube channel, or if you're listening at a later time on your favorite audio podcast platform, we appreciate the support for sure. So hit that like button, hit that follow button, hit that notification bell on YouTube. If you haven't already, give us a thumbs up on this YouTube video. On the live feed, we appreciate that. And on Facebook, wherever you're watching this lot, give us a thumbs up. Wherever you're listening at, make sure you're subscribed and following. Give us that 5-star rating and review. We'd really appreciate it. Like I said, you can follow us on all social media platforms at Kicking Out Pod. We are on YouTube. We are on Facebook, Twitter, X, I should say, Instagram, and Blue Sky. We are not on TikTok, unfortunately. If you want to support our podcast and look great doing so, you can buy some Kicking Out podcast merch at kickingoutshop.com. And we also got exclusive t-shirts on Pro Wrestling Tees. Just go to prowrestlingtees.com, type in Kicking Out Podcast, and you can find some of our shirts on there as well. And if you want to follow all three of us jabronis, or actually, let's be honest, I'm not the jabroni. The other two might be the jabroni. You got Paul, who doesn't show up on the pod anymore, jabroni. You got Shep, the reigning KOP prediction champion, jabroni. Then you got myself. So if you want to follow me on Twitter and on Instagram, it's at TannerLee92. The KOP Predictions Champion Shep is at TheShep27. And Paul is at PaulZartman87. So with that said, we'll be back hopefully with a 3-man crew, but I keep hoping every week and it's not. But at the least, it'll at least be me. And hopefully at least somebody else. But hopefully overall, it'll be a 3-man crew. We'll be back at it and kicking out yet another podcast next week at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Have a great week, everybody. Enjoy your wrestling.
This is where I say goodbye, mwah, and good night. Bam!